Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I am your host, Hannah Mariah, and this is Alone, Not Lonely. I just wanted to take a second and thank everyone who has tuned in so far, who has followed my Instagram page and commented or messaged me. It just means the world to me, and I'm just so excited. I hit 100 listens a couple of weeks ago, and that was just like such a huge milestone for me personally. And it would just, oh my gosh, brought me so much joy. So I just wanted to take a second and thank you guys for everything, for listening in, for reaching out to me and letting me know what you think, for continuing the discussions that we've had. It's been so fun. And so, yeah, thank you guys so much. So today I want to talk about the little things. Today's episode is entitled "The Little Things Are the Big Things." And so I want to start off with a kind of like a motto that sometimes people go by or go with. It's in and out of the church. This saying or this idea that even if it reaches one person, it was worth it. Even if, you know, one person is changed because of this, it was all worth it. And I just want to talk about that in this episode because I don't think people realize how true that statement truly is, how much impact one person truly can make and the power behind that statement. So I've heard different, you know, views and perspectives on this. I've heard even some people say kind of not fight the statement, but kind of like just a pushback with like saying, you know, it's yes, like if it changes one person, great, but it's okay to want more than one person. More than one person to, you know, hear the song, see the show, whatever it is that you're doing. You know, this idea that it's okay to want more than one person, you know, to see it and that, or to be changed by it. And that statement, and that is more than okay. And I think more than biblical to want, whatever you're doing, whether it's, for personal reasons or, you know, for something that you feel like God has called you to, you know, more than okay to want it to reach as many people as possible. But I've also met some people who get irritated when it doesn't reach a lot of people. And so I just want to talk about that for a second, because I think to have a heart of, you know, again, to reach as many people as possible, I think that's okay. But I think that God is so powerful, and he just works in ways, you know, that there's that saying, God works in mysterious ways. And that's true in the way of he works in ways that we don't even see. And we probably won't see until we get on the other side of eternity, you know, and then, you know, we'll look back and be like, oh my gosh, he was moving here and there and all this stuff. And so even when we can't see the finish line, even when we can't see the progress, God is still moving, and God is still able and just as powerful and mighty in his moving than when we can see it. So to have that heart of like, just to come to any situation kind of with that humble heart of like, I want this to reach as many people as possible, but even if it just reaches one person and changes them, you know, or whatever, I think that that's where our hearts need to be, because to want everyone, you know, as many people to see it, but, and then to get a bitter heart when not a lot of people see it, you know, isn't right. And so in this episode, I just kind of want to go over all of that and the perspective that we don't see, right? The behind the scenes of what one person can truly do. Because Jesus changed the world, turned the world upside down with 12 disciples. And so if he can do that, he can change your family. He can change your church. He can change your neighbor's heart. He can change whatever circumstance you're in through you, through one person, through that one person that you talked to and you reached out to, that one person that you got the courage to go and pray for them, or that one person that you went out of your way to encourage them, or whatever it may be. There are a lot of times all throughout the Bible that there was a small crowd and God did huge miracles, huge revivals, huge, you know, you name it. And it starts small, right? Like the church itself started with 12 disciples. So 12 disciples dispersed and made more disciples, thus creating the first church. But it started with 12. So that's what I always look back on, right? Is if God can change the world with 12 disciples, God can change your situation with whatever you have, with however many people you have. I want to go through biblically what God can do with one person. And that's what today's episode is about. And I just want to talk about when we're called to be the person that reaches one person. So if you go your whole life and you really do only touch one person's life, right? And you know, God is so big and God is so powerful and all of that. So he can use you to touch many people's lives, but you don't even know about it, right? So I'm saying, like, whenever you only know, right? Like, you look back and you're like, I know that when God told me to do this, you know, that this person came and said that it changed your life in this way. I just want to show how truly beautiful it can be when you really only touch one person's life. So I have three biblical examples today. And the first one that I want to talk about is Hannah. Hannah in the Bible, that she is found in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel. So she is actually only in the first two chapters of Samuel, and then she's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. So who was she? So Hannah was a wife who desired to be a mother. So whenever you read her story, her husband has her and another wife, and his other wife bears lots of children, and the other wife is not kind to Hannah, and she kind of picks on her for the reason of not having children. And so Hannah is very depressed about this. And I think it's beautiful because she just goes to the Lord about it, right? So her husband, there's actually a point in scripture where her husband tries to comfort her and tries to comfort her by saying, like, am I not enough for you? And all this stuff. And basically she says, nope. And she goes to the Lord with her, this desire to be a mother. And so if you go and read her prayer, it is so beautiful. And it's crazy because she is praying at the temple and Eli actually comes and sees her, and she's like mouthing her prayer and like crying. And so he thinks she's drunk. And it's like, it's just a really funny story because she's actually like in this really desperate place and praying these beautiful prayers, and Eli actually goes and confronts her, and he's like, get out, you can't be here all intoxicated like that. So anyway, and then she explains, you know, who she is and what she's doing, and that she's not drunk, and what her prayer is. So anyway, that's a summary of who Hannah is. That's kind of all that it says about her. So she was a wife who desired to be a mother. She was what the church would call today a prayer warrior, because like I said, she just went to the Lord, right, with all of these hurts, with all of these desires that she had. And actually the reason why she's in two chapters is because the Bible had to give context to her prayer, to how God led her to be a mother. So the whole two chapters that she's in, that's what it is. It's the context of like why she prayed the prayer that she did and what the prayer was. So Hannah was a wife and a mother, but she bore Samuel. And who was Samuel? In the Old Testament, there are two books named after him, 1 and 2 Samuel, and it goes through his life and what Samuel did. So in Hannah's prayer, she basically prays that if God gives her a child, that she would give it back to him. And so whenever Samuel is very young, after he was just weaned from nursing and all of that, she gives him to Eli, who's the priest, and which was her surrendering Samuel to the Lord and basically just entrusting him to him. So if you can just take a second to imagine what that would be like for Hannah, right? So, and if you're a mother, you know, you will understand on a deeper level the level of sacrifice and willingness that Hannah had in order to do this, right? Like all she wanted was to be a mother, and she wanted it so bad that she prayed that if she was a mother, that she would give him back, right? So she just wanted so bad to bear children to the point that she was going to surrender all the children that she got back to him. So anyway, to give your child, to surrender him to God to the point where you give him to the priest and say like, okay, Lord, here you go, raise him how you will. That level of faith and security that she had in the Lord is just so incredible to look at, especially because there is no other love like a mother's love, right? So that is just amazing that she did that. And actually, Hannah does have more children later, but it's just cool because she didn't know if she was going to have more children or not, and she still gave Samuel to him. So anyway, that's who Hannah was. She literally was a mom. And before she was mom, she was only a wife who desired to be a mom, right? Like that's what she wanted to be. That was her prayer. That was her calling, is to be a mom. So then she gives birth to Samuel. And Samuel is this great messenger. He's a great prophet. He actually comes in the picture during a time that God has been silent for a long time. So in 1 Samuel 3:1, it's actually 1 Samuel 3:1-4. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. It happened at that time that Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well, and the lamp of God had not gone out yet. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am.'" And then it goes on, and that's the Samuel thinks that Eli is calling him, and then Eli realizes that it's the Lord and gets really excited because it had just said that the Lord speaking was just rare in those days. So Samuel's willingness too is something, you know, to look at, but he's this great figure in the Bible, right? Like I said, he's this prophet. God speaks to him before Eli the priest. I'm actually going to read 1 Samuel 3:19, because it says, "Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail." So that's so amazing, right? So Samuel grows up, and it says that he grew, and the Lord was with him. And so that's how Samuel grew to be this great heroic prophet, right? He leads Israel during this time, and before Israel had a king and all of that, that their leader was Samuel. And when the Lord spoke, he spoke through Samuel. So there's actually this really interesting passage in 1 Samuel 28. I won't read it because it's a pretty big chunk of scripture. But Saul, who is Israel's first king, after Samuel dies, Saul is praying and the Lord doesn't answer him. And so he actually gets a medium to bring Samuel back from the dead. And it's actually like this insane story. And whenever you read it, it's like, whoa, like what's happening? But anyway, Samuel, whenever he comes back, Saul falls on his face and Samuel's like, "Why? Why did you bring me back?" Or he says, "Why did you disturb me and bring me back up?" And so it's just really funny because it's like, Saul was just desperately searching for these answers and didn't have a choice, or he felt like he didn't have a choice but to bring Samuel back. But that just shows how godly and how much Samuel was looked to, right, while he was alive. He was looked to so much that the king of Israel, in desperation, tried to bring him back from the dead just to get answers, right? Because the Lord spoke so powerfully through Samuel. And like I said, two books of the Bible are named after him. And 1 Samuel, you know, goes throughout his whole life and explains, you know, what he did and said as a prophet, as the Lord led him. So anyway, that just shows basically how big of a deal Samuel was, right? So he was chosen by God to be a prophet and he led Israel and he did all these amazing things. But that wouldn't have happened, right? Like none of that wouldn't have happened if Hannah hadn't have answered her calling to be a mom. So one of the points that I want to prove through this podcast, and something that I've said whenever I explain to people this podcast, is different callings, right? Because what the church tends to do is they rank callings, right? So at the very top, you have like missionary and pastor and you name it, you know, all of these great godly quote unquote callings. And those are godly callings. And I'm not downplaying that at all. But then people look at other callings like a stay-at-home mom and a janitor at a school and a teacher and, you know, all these callings that it's like, and that's what the church does, right? Like they rank them. So it's like, you're super godly. You're like the ultimate Christian, right? If you're, when you're a pastor or when you're a missionary, and you're just if you're a stay-at-home mom, and if you're, you know, a teacher, if you're a janitor, if you're the maintenance person, right? Like it's not, we tend to rank callings like that. But if Hannah had never answered her calling, if she never prayed about her desires on being a mom, Samuel wouldn't have been born. And Samuel is a great leader and prophet and speaker in the Old Testament. And it was all because, or it all started with Hannah and her faith and her dedication and her prayer and her crying out to the Lord, right? Like she wanted that so desperately. So if there's something in your life, right, that you want so desperately, but you can't, right? Because whenever it speaks of Hannah, it says that she was barren, right? Like she couldn't have children. So in other words, she was trying to have children and she couldn't. But that was her desire. And because she was faithful in prayer and because she was faithful to her promise that she would dedicate him to the Lord after he was born, thus Samuel happened. But it started with a mom. So that's my first example of touching one person's life. Now, the second person that I want to talk about is Andrew. Now, he's found in the New Testament. He is actually one of the 12 disciples that Jesus calls, and he's the brother of the famously known Simon Peter. But what's crazy is that he is actually the one who led Peter to Jesus. So there's this passage in John 1:35. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So John, this is talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was with his two disciples, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said, "Come and you will see." And they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. One of those two, okay, so what is that talking about? So in the beginning, it said two of John's disciples. So Andrew was actually one of John's disciples first. And it says, one of the two who heard John speaking and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John, and you shall be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. So, whoa, that's crazy. And a lot of people don't know that Andrew is actually the one who went to Peter and said, and who showed him Jesus. So there's another passage where Jesus calls both of them. It's in Matthew, and it says that they were fishing and Jesus called them both. So that's actually a different time, and it's later because Andrew was one of John's disciples. Then John says, you know, to follow Christ. And then Andrew, the first thing that he does is goes to get his brother and says, you know, "We have found the Messiah. Like, let me show you." And he leads Peter to Christ. And then later they are fishing and Jesus calls both of them. And during that time, the fact that they were fishing meant that a rabbi had not chosen them at that point. And so they were going to do the trade that their father had done. So their father was a fisherman, which is why they were out fishing when Jesus called them. And so so the passage I just read, Jesus hadn't called them to be his disciples yet. You know, he changes Peter's name, and then he finds them fishing later, and he says, "Come and follow me." So basically that meant that as a rabbi, he was choosing them to be his disciples. which was a really big deal back in that time. So anyway, so those are two different times, though. John the Baptist tells his disciples, you know, that Jesus is the Messiah. Andrew goes and gets Peter. Peter goes to Christ. Christ changes his name. And then later when they're fishing, Christ calls them both to drop their nets and to follow him, and that he will make them fishers of men. So Andrew is not mentioned much after this. This is kind of his big moment. And his big moment was that he went and got his brother to come to Jesus. And whenever he is mentioned later, it's kind of just like when the Bible is mentioning the disciples who were at certain events that took place and all of that. It'll say that, you know, Andrew is there or whatever. But it doesn't talk much about anything that Andrew did or said after this point. So who was Peter? Most people are very familiar with Peter. He was a biblical author. He wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. He was a martyr. He was persecuted. He was imprisoned so many times. And so whenever he died, he was actually crucified. And he actually asked to be crucified upside down because he said he does not feel fit to die as Jesus did. So he was actually crucified upside down. So he was a martyr. He was a leader in the first church. You can read that all throughout Acts. He healed people all throughout Acts. It talks about different teachings that Peter had given and different times that he had healed. So anyway, Peter is a very great figure in the Bible, but he wouldn't have been who he was if his brother hadn't have shown him Christ, right? So that's Andrew's story. And the last two people that I want to talk about, most people probably don't even know are in the Bible, but it's two women, Nympha and Chloe. So I'm going to read the only scriptures that say their name. Nympha is found in, so Colossians 4:15 says, "Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house." So let me just read the other scripture. Chloe is found in 1 Corinthians 1:11. "For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you." So in this context, he's talking about the churches that are at these women's house. So it's crazy because their names are just in passing, right? Like they are mentioned and Paul is talking about the church that is at their house. But the message that he's bringing is to that gathering. And that gathering wouldn't be there without those women, right? Without those hospitable women who open their homes. And yes, their names are just in passing, but their names are in the most read book of all time, all throughout history. And both of their names are in that book, have been read by millions of people because they were hospitable, because they said yes whenever God asked them to open their homes, right? So therefore, Paul, the greatest missionary of all time, an apostle, all of these things, knew them and the churches that were in their homes and shared what God put on his heart for them. And it all started when Nympha and Chloe opened up their homes, when they were hospitable. So what's the point? Hannah was a mom, Andrew was a brother, and Nympha and Chloe were hospitable. In all of these stories, right, these are what we would see as insignificant characters. They are not these big, grand characters in the Bible. Like I said, Nympha and Chloe are mentioned in passing. Hannah's in two chapters of the Bible, and Andrew is mentioned just a few times, and it's usually just to say that he was present at an event. But God used these quote-unquote insignificant characters to do amazing things. So God does have a plan and purpose for your life, but sometimes it's not what you think. And in the church, we tend to highlight these grand stories, right? Like Moses, you know, who literally from birth, whenever he was put in the river and he floated down and was found by the Egyptian princess, all the way up to his death. And he had led the Israelites out of slavery. And, you know, he's this grand character in the Bible. Or like Paul the Apostle, right? Who was the greatest missionary, who went through all of these trials and persecution. And so we just look at these characters with the biggest, brightest story, and we focus on them, and we're like, yes, that's God, and that's God's calling, and that is true. But so was Nympha, and so was Chloe, and so was Andrew, and so was Hannah. They were all a part of God's story, and God did amazing things and amazing miracles through the quote unquote insignificant characters too. So we have to be okay when God calls us to be the background characters, right? We have to be okay when we are the Andrew, when, you know, we lead that one person and then they lead the masses. You know, when we open our homes and that's where the masses can gather, we have to be okay to be those insignificant characters, because that's where God can show himself the most, is whenever we are shown the least. And that's whenever God can really work and show his, you know, what he does best. And there are so many more examples all throughout the Bible, if you really pay attention. I mean, I highlighted those three, but if you read both the Old and the New Testament, there are so many names that usually in the church aren't talked about because they're such a small part of scripture, or they're even just named in passing. But whenever you stop and look at a name that you don't recognize and like see what their part in the story is, usually they're a huge part of the story, but they're just said in passing. And so that's what I would challenge you with, is just whenever you are reading scripture and you do see an insignificant name, or you see, you know, something that's just in passing, really look into it, because usually that's a huge part of the grand story that is being told. So I do just want to end with a couple of questions. Is there someone in your life that is like one of the people that we talked about today? Because I know for me, there are a couple people that I can think of, right? When you hear their stories, it's not this amazing story that, you know, God brought the masses to them and they have hundreds of stories that they can tell where they saw this miracle and that happened and all of that. But it is people who were just there for somebody. They were just there for somebody who was there for somebody else, you know, and it just goes from there. And is there a time in your life that you can think that this was the case? Some time in your life where, like I said, that you were just there for someone, or that you did this little thing that you didn't think was going to amount to anything, but then God used it like he does, and it turned, you know, into something that you never thought possible, because God is like that, right? Like he takes, you know, the little bit that we can give and he turns it into something grand and amazing and all of that. I would love to hear your stories. I would love to hear your perspective on all of it. So if you just go over to my Instagram page and leave a comment or DM me or whatever, then that would be great. I would love to hear your perspective and your stories on all of this. Some examples in my life with this. The first person who I think of is my grandpa. He is a very humble man. And so whenever I think of my grandpa, I only think of greatness. He, like I said, is so humble. He is so kind. He's the only man that has been kind to me with no other agenda. He and my mom actually have a really sweet relationship, and they've just always been there for each other. And I think that's one of the reasons why I look at him as such a great man, is because who he is and was to my mom. Because if you know me personally, you know that me and my mom are basically best friends. We tell each other everything. We do everything together. Everything, even things in the future that we are planning is together. And so I think that because of who and what he is to her, therefore he is so great to me. So he lived in my hometown whenever I was little, but he has been in Texas for quite a while now. So I didn't grow up with him necessarily, but even since I was a teenager, we have emailed back and forth, and I've shared with him, you know, things going on in my life and him, you know, and vice versa. And anyway, he is just someone who I think of. He's a very godly man. He is just someone who I think of when I think of someone who is like an Andrew, someone who, even if he doesn't think so, has been and played such a huge part in so many lives. And yeah, and then the other person that I think of is also my mom. And not to say that both my grandpa and my mom don't have these incredible stories or times that they can look back, but my mom has always been a stay-at-home mom. And like I said, the church and just people just tend to rate or rank things that people do. And for whatever reason, motherhood and all of that is just at the bottom, and it shouldn't be. And I would not be, oh my goodness, I would not be who I am today if it weren't for my mama. And she, since I was little, has always just seen me as a person. So when I was a little girl at the adult table, she'd never shooed me away like the other moms did with their kids, of like, well, this is adult talk, so you guys go play. I was always seen, even as a little kid. And she taught me right from wrong, not just by her words, but by the way that she lived. And she taught me kindness in the midst of hardship and heartache. And she taught me what mercy looks like and what grace looks like and what it is to be a godly woman. And so I would not be where I am today if it weren't for her. She has always been my rock. She has always been the only consistent person who has always believed in me and things that I want to do, despite what it is, including this podcast. Cause I'm going to be honest, whenever I started this podcast, I was discouraged because I was not plugged into a community. It wasn't super plugged in. I'm not super plugged into the church that we're currently going to, and just because of things going on in life and all of that. So I was a little discouraged when I announced my podcast because I got very few responses, and I kind of knew that I would just because of what I just said. But my mom, one night, she texted me, actually, because she was already in bed, and so she texted me, and she just told me how proud she was that I was doing this podcast. And I told her the next day that I got teary-eyed when she sent that, because it just reminded me that she always has believed in me, no matter what it was, and no matter what I was going through, she was always there. And so she is definitely, for sure, that to me. She's someone who, yeah, she has definitely changed more lives than just mine, but she is definitely someone who I can look to and say that I am so thankful that if I was that one person that she led, that she truly changed my life. And like I said, she has changed so many, yeah. So anyway, those are the two people that come to mind whenever I think about the Andrews and the Hannahs and the Chloe and Nymphas in my life, is definitely my grandpa and my mom, because my mom wouldn't be where she is without my grandpa and who he was to her. And like I said, the kindness and joy that he has shown and given to me is just incredible. And then all the love and encouragement and lessons that my mom has given me, I definitely would not be the woman that I am without those two. So I just kind of wanted to conclude this podcast by saying who has changed my life in that way. So yes, thank you, Granddaddy, and thank you, Mom, because you guys are literally the best, and I would not be where or who I am today without you guys. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Stay updated on new episodes and more, and let me know what you think about the things that we discussed today by following my page on Instagram. My handle is @AloneNotLonelyPodcast. I would love to hear from you. And if you feel so inclined, it would mean the world if you left me a review, as well as share this podcast with anyone and everyone. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.